Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now,
you all didn't know the old me, that for 40 years, Darren, I was a kamikaze. The fact that I'm alive is a miracle.
How about that?
I've ridden steers, jumped off cliffs, been shot and been shot at, and I survived it all.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
We're at it. Welcome to Hour 2 of the RP Show, everybody. Canada's daytime sports talk show rolls on. Quick wardrobe change out of the Dallas Stars coat, off national television. I wanted to make that statement there.
Yep.
And now into a golf shirt, because this is, that was team issue coach's gear, and it's hot. It's for hockey teams.
For being on the ice.
It's not supposed to be playing in August, by the way. But I still love it. But we're Facebook Live only, and of course, listen live at rodpeterson.com. And howdy do to everybody for joining us for episode number 294 of the program. Hour one was fun. Scott Laughlin of Sirius NHL Radio. I got to tell you something, man. Interesting story that I tell kids when I go talk about motivation, when I do the motivational talk. Scott Laughlin and I worked together for The Score about 20 years ago. Most people don't even remember The Score.
Yeah.
You know The Score app, but you know it used to be a TV channel. It's now Sportsnet 360. You know who all worked there at the same time?
Huh.
Arash Madani, Elliot Friedman, Glenn McDonald from Game Plus, who's probably still watching right now. I can't even begin.
Tim and Sid were there. Adnan Verk was there. He's on ESPN.
Not anymore.
Was.
Everybody who's anybody. Sarah Orleski.
Yeah.
Cabby, yes, thank you. So here's the interesting story about that, and I don't know why I went totally off the rails here, but one day at Ryder practice, I want to say it was about 02, maybe 03, there was a CBC reporter there, French reporter, reading questions off a list to the Riders doing interviews. And I walked up to her and I said, what are you doing? She goes, I'm interviewing for The Score, the Riders, and they just asked me to do the interviews. I'm like, well, I'm here every day. I can do this. So I called The Score, and that's where I first met, over the phone, Dave Rutherford. Turns out he was running the whole place. Turns out he worked at Sudbury Radio with Warren Woods, blah, 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 small world. And he goes, I said, hey, I'll be your reporter for The Score out here in Saskatchewan. Heck, I'm there anyways. He goes, do you know anything about TV? And I said, nope, but I'll learn it. And I did. And then when the Riders went through Toronto, I went down to The Score, walked in there on King Street West, and walked around the whole place, shook everybody's hand. I'm Rod, I'm your guy in Saskatchewan, blah, blah, blah. That turned into 4 years at Sportsnet. And those guys we're still all connected in a way.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what The Score did. It doesn't get enough credit.
It doesn't.
For careers that it launched in
every
this business.
Every media guy with the team and every athlete and every coach, you know, you'd do your thing, you'd go to the post-game meal, and then you'd sit in your hotel room, either going through your notes from the game before, if it's a playoff series, getting ready for the next day, and you would watch The Score for half hour after half hour, because they would just burn through the highlights. And those reporters got such great opportunities to read highlights just over and over and over and over and over. Repetition, right?
It's funny. John in Edmonton says, The Score, you're making us feel old, Rod, and I'm only 31. Doug McKell says, I used to watch CIS football on The Score. Loved it. From Paul Figler in Red Deer. Was that back when Jerry D was on The Score, Rod? No, Jerry came after me. I was gone by then. But, and then I do remember this. That whole thing about when one door closes and another opens is a thing, right? You know that.
Oh, yeah.
But when the door closes, it doesn't always feel real good. And I remember this. Arash got laid off. He was in Calgary covering the Stampeders and the Flames for The Score. And they laid off every bureau chief all across the country, because The Score had somebody in every major market. They laid them all off, and that included Arash. And he went off. He was so mad because he just moved out there, blah, blah, blah. Where'd he end up?
Right.
You know,
lead reporter at The Score, or at Sports.
Sports, yes. So anyway, I just thought about Scott Laughlin, because he told producer Clark he would come on any time because he's a fan of RP, and it just goes back to being a good guy back in the day.
Yeah.
You know. Anyways, let's go, Jordan, with our quick six show topics here, if you don't mind. Let's re-up on them, because I never did get to this. And we do have Ron Robison coming in. You let me know when Ron Robison's ready, the commissioner of the Dub. New York Rangers win the NHL draft lottery. My reaction when the ball came out, eh. Yours was, this is great for the NHL. But I was like, eh. Point two, Swift Current Black Tie virtual NHL playoff draft last night was amazing. Thanks for having us. It was so much fun. 19 teams picked their teams virtually. We emceed it from right here in the bunker. It was a blast. Point three, Juwan Breskison of the Argos tweeting, haven't had an update on the CFL lately. Is the season canceled? When you dig a little deeper, that sounds like a fan. The guy plays in the league. It's the one, I'm not going on another CFL rant today, even though the one yesterday was popular. But here's the thing with the CFL, with the Board of Governors and these guys, the owners, everything's a secret. It's always a big secret. It's a secret. Your league's a secret, dudes. Tired of fighting with them. Point four, the poll, which is Canada's game of the week in week 10 in the CFL. Saskatchewan at Montreal, Edmonton at Winnipeg, Ottawa at Hamilton, or Calgary at BC. Right now leading Calgary at BC. The winning game will be broadcast on Facebook Live. So you Lions and Stampeders fans, tell all your friends, retweet the poll if you don't want the Riders in another game because they win every week. Point five, the Blue Jays debut at Buffalo tonight at that stadium. Salem Field.
Yep.
Against the Marlins, who I kind of have a soft spot for. And as I was saying earlier, I like Charlie Montoya. He's got something. He's got some hustle. He's got some pizzazz. And they're three off the division lead as they enter tonight. And four games in the Stanley Cup playoffs today. Columbus versus Tampa. The Flames against the Stars. Carolina against Boston. And Chicago against the Vegas Golden Knights. So another great day. But if I got to pick just one game, it's going to be Chicago-Vegas. But before we bring in the commissioner of the Western Hockey League, my favorite league, to the NHL draft lottery with the Rangers, you tweeted that this was a great day for the NHL. It got a lot of reaction. And it's an interesting thing about the NHL. It's like two separate leagues. In Canada, you've got Hockey Night in Canada, and Ron McLean, and TSN, and Bob McKenzie, and Darren Dreger, and the seven Canadian teams. And then you got the 49th parallel, and you got NHL on NBC, and Mike Milbury, and Peter Sharp, or Patrick Sharp, sorry, and Liam Hughes, and NHL Network that we don't even get.
Right.
It's like two separate leagues.
I know.
You don't even think really about the American teams when you live in Canada. You really don't.
No, you don't. You don't understand exactly what, you know, they bring to the table and everything. I think for the game, Minnesota to win would have been great. Get a star in that market again and, you know, get them moving forward. But because the Rangers are coming. And now that you got Lafreniere to the Rangers, they all of a sudden become a real threat. You got two young goaltenders behind Lundqvist that are looking really good. You got a pretty decent back end. You got some stars now. But it's good for the league when the Rangers are good. When you can invigorate. Remember when there was a young Henrik Lundqvist? Guy looks like $1 million. He's in the greatest city in New York, right?
In America.
He's a celebrity. People recognize him. He's doing the late night talk shows.
Fashion shows, yeah. Radiothons.
It's so great to have stars in that, in your big cities like that, in your star cities like LA, like, you know, New York, Toronto, those big markets, because it's good for the game. It engages a whole bunch of fans. And as we heard from, you know, Scott, when the original six teams are good, that's always good for the game. But I like Matthew Barnaby's tweet. Did you see it last night? He's like, the Rangers playing in the elimination round, losing out, and then winning the draft lottery, that's like getting dumped by a 6 and banging a 10 in the same night. You know? He's like, that's what he said on Twitter. And I laughed and laughed. And I'm like, that's a win-win for New York. It's got to be such a great feeling. It's like you just feel so bad about losing this kind of playoffs. But now you just got the greatest prize of the summer.
Paul Figler from the dubnetwork.ca, the website that covers the Dub, and I write for it. Figgy says from Red Deer, I didn't like what Dupe said, but I thought about it and agree with him about how the NHL benefits with New York getting the first overall pick. Thank you, Figgy. And let's bring in the commissioner of the Western Hockey League, Ron Robison, who knows his way around draft lotteries. He's done a few from his office in Calgary. Good day, Ron. How are you, sir?
Very good, Rod. Thanks very much for having me.
Just a hockey question overall before we get to the Dub. What was your take on the draft lottery yesterday, how it was handled, and what's your take on New York Rangers winning it?
Well, I think that when you look at the you know, the objective of any draft is to reward the teams in reverse order. And I think it's often open debate. I think, though, everyone has to relax a little bit under the circumstances that we're dealing with here. This is uncharted waters for everybody. And I think the NHL challenged themselves to think a little bit out of the box on this one and create some more interest. And it certainly did that.
There's no doubt. And you, like you say, you got GM screaming from every market over advantages and so forth. And that kind of goes back to return to play for you guys. It's been a while since we've had you on. And since we've had you on, you guys announced December 4th as the target date. Would you mind telling your fans today what went into that decision, Ron, and where we sit as a league here on Tuesday, August the 11th?
Well, it became apparent to us, Rod, as we worked our way through each province, each of our six jurisdictions. We have the four Western provinces, of course, and in the Pacific Northwest, we have Washington State and Oregon as well. And it became quite evident to us that as we worked our way through those discussions that we weren't going to get to where we needed to get to in October. The safety and health and safety of our players is always our first priority, and there's some steps that we have to go through, first and foremost being our protocols to make sure from a safety perspective that not only our players, but our staffs, officials, and our fans are going to be safe in all of this. And we need additional time to make sure that we get the proper clearance from the health authorities in each of those jurisdictions. We've had an excellent response. They've been very receptive, very appreciative of the fact that we came to them with a very detailed plan. But it does take time to work through. They're dealing with a lot of challenges, as you can appreciate, in every province, in each state, on a day-by-day basis. And we're just one of those constituents that are requesting some help. And then secondly, of course, and the major challenge for us is the spectator capacity and what that's going to look like. And we just feel that we need some additional time to have those discussions. A lot of it is in the timing, and so we're hopeful that in the coming months that we can have some productive discussions around that as well.
We did have some questions come in from your Dub fans ahead of the interview, and some were asking, December 4th, do you envision fans in the building? Or, you know, are we looking at a empty concept like the NHL? What does it look like beginning December 4th?
Yeah, we're hopeful that we can have spectators. We're a spectator-driven league, and we need a certain percentage of spectators in order to be viable as a league. And so, yes, our objective is to achieve that. We are working with the health authorities in each of these jurisdictions, and they will ultimately make that call. But we're hopeful we can find a formula that's going to work and be safe for everybody concerned.
I've got a question, and I think you're the guy that can answer it, Ron, with the December 4th start date. And then I see Dr. Bonnie Henry in BC saying, no sports in 2020, a direct quote from her. It's a juxtaposition. How could you play in BC if you're not allowed any sports, you know, or people past 150? Where are you with her and WHL teams in BC playing in 2020?
Well, BC specifically, we have been in discussion with at least four departments, including the health department in BC. We're making good progress. I think they're very, again, receptive to our plan. Spectator capacity is the biggest challenge we face in all jurisdictions, and what that will look like ultimately in BC will be her decision and their department's decision. So we haven't got there yet. I think it's important to ask those questions more specifically at the appropriate time when the health authorities feel that the number of cases and so forth are leveling off, if you will, or are more under control than what they may be currently. So I think it's I think we certainly believe that there's going to be the willingness there to have the discussion around spectator capacity at the right time.
I hope you don't mind. Some fans have got questions, Ron. I don't think they're too hot button. Zach in Calgary says, Ron, will you be having hub cities for the WHL? Is that on the table, Ron?
No, it's not. We, again, fortunate because I think everyone in Saskatchewan in particular and across the Western Canada, we've done a very good job of managing this situation. And, you know, our feeling is that we want to open up in all of our jurisdictions. Whether we'll be able to do that or not remains to be seen. You know, obviously, the number of cases in Washington State and in Oregon are significantly higher than in Western Canada, and that's something we're monitoring very closely. We have the border issue that we will be obviously having to deal with as well. So what we can say is that we envision starting play by playing within our divisions, within our provinces and states, actually, to limit the travel and contain the team movement. And we're working with a variety of different other measures, but we think that's one proactive measure that will help us to start the season. And we'll build on those rivalries, as you're well aware, that we've got in those great divisions of ours.
Well, I think the team's just got to dig a little deep. I mean, they're great marketers as it is, but I would love to see the Wheat Kings 11 times if I have to, or the Winnipeg guys. Which, speaking of, Gary in Winnipeg writes in and he says, looking forward to building on a second season with the Ice after a fantastic first year. I interviewed James Patrick. I was on the Ice's podcast last week. They really got something going in Winnipeg, Ron. That looks like a great move. What's your take on the Winnipeg Ice here moving forward?
Well, we think that the team in Winnipeg is going to be very successful. They've got a lot of good young players, obviously, and a good nucleus to work with to build a very exciting franchise. The brand of Wheat Kings have been an ongoing, as you know, perennial, very competitive team. I think it's going to really make a great rivalry in the province of Manitoba. We think the presence in Winnipeg is extremely important. And then again, when you take the Saskatchewan teams, and I guess one of the requests we will be making to start the season will be to allow the Manitoba teams, obviously, to play in Saskatchewan. And the Saskatchewan health authorities and government have been excellent to work with, and we're making very good progress in that particular area. And so we're looking forward to getting the Winnipeg Ice back on the ice and getting our entire league. But the East Division will be fun to watch this year, without question.
Oh, yeah. Always is, of course. But it's fun to build something and watch it grow, you know. And what they're doing in Winnipeg with the WHL is outstanding. Ron, I only got one more for you, and it has to do with the players. I'm hearing this a lot, not just hockey players, grade 11 athletes that want to be showcased in lacrosse and so forth, basketball for NCAA schools. Bantam age kids, NHL draft eligible kids that are worried about being seen. And you know what I mean? Identification, I guess. Are you hearing from those draft eligible kids with their concerns that they might miss a year and that kind of thing? You know what I'm talking about. Any message to them?
Well, first of all, we're determined to play. We want to get back playing as soon as we possibly can. We're disappointed to miss the October window. I know that puts some strain on the players and their training and development over the next couple of months, but we are developing plans right now to communicate with them on and all of our players, roster players, in preparation for training camps. I think that, everybody we've been certainly in discussion with, Rod, has been very understanding of the circumstances we find ourselves in. It affects everyone, obviously, and in every walk of life. And we just have to be patient as we work our way through this. And we want to get to a place where it's going to be safe for the players, but also safe for our fans. We're working over 24/7 to try and make that happen. We're looking forward to getting more information out to our players. I think in terms of exposure, I think that everyone understands that there's going to be a delay. But once we start up, we hope to be business as usual and give the opportunities for full exposure to our players.
Thank you. Exposure was the term that I was looking for. And as I tell these young kids and their families, if you're good enough, they'll find you. Relax, just stay healthy, do your thing, stay in shape, and be ready. And it seems to calm them down. This has been an outstanding update, Ron. Anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
No, I think the key word is patience in all this, Rod, that I understand when you're a young player, you want to get out and get your season started. This is probably the most challenging time because training camps would be opening normally in another week or so, and we're just not in that position. But we are committed to doing everything we can to get the Western Hockey League back on ice as quickly as possible and for the benefit of the players and for our fans and everybody associated with the organization. So hang in there, and we'll look forward to hopefully chatting with you soon with some more announcements in this regard.
Thank you, Ron. Keep up the good work. Appreciate your leadership. Thank you.
Thanks, Rod. Thanks for having me.
Commissioner of the Western Hockey League, Ron Robison, from his office in Calgary. And I was reading on a blog yesterday, and it was on the internet, Darren, so it must be true, that the Alberta Junior Hockey League would have an announcement this week, the AJ, on their season. And of course, you know how leagues are kind of copycat. It made me wonder if the SJ would be coming up with an announcement this week.
Yeah, I imagine.
And I don't know, but.
No, but I imagine that they'll start to get those announcements out. Again, a little easier when you only have one jurisdiction to deal with, province of Alberta, province of Saskatchewan, and you're staying within your borders. You know, playing something like a national championship or a Western Canadian championship becomes in question. But with the, as you mentioned, with the Western Hockey League, you've got Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, BC, and the state of Washington. You've got, you know, five jurisdictions.
Six.
Six jurisdictions that you have to deal with. That becomes a lot more difficult because they all have a different agenda.
I hate the term agenda.
I know.
You're right, but it's I just hate the term. We will take a timeout and be back. On the way, we've got the public address announcer of the Carolina Hurricanes, Wade Minter. Get your questions ready for him. Lord knows we got a ton, but that's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
The Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. My mind is racing because Ron Robison dropped quite a few interesting tidbits in that interview. We'll be back with more. Hang on. It's the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network. Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
People donate blood for moments like this.
But there are lots of reasons why Canada's Lifeline needs donors every day.
Like the fact that someone with leukemia can need up to 8 units of blood a week.
Or that donated blood lasts no longer than 42 days.
Or to help new moms and babies, like Henry.
There's lots of reasons to donate blood. That's why we need donors every day.
The need for blood is constant. Join Toyota and our Toyota dealers in supporting Canada's Lifeline.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel neglected or unloved? If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Interesting tidbits there from the commissioner of the Western Hockey League, Ron Robison. I'll say it again. If you missed it, I wrote it down. They are not considering hub cities. They will have divisional play only beginning December 4th. And the quote I love, we're determined to play out of the Western Hockey League. Now, I thought the NHL should fund hub cities in Saskatoon and Regina for the Eastern Conference and somewhere in BC for the West. They're not even considering that. So, but they're going to play. That's the plan.
Yeah.
So just, you saw what Donald Trump said today, the president of the United States. Play college football! If you want it, there's a way to do it.
Well, you tweeted those quotes, and I tweeted just a thought just a moment ago, too, that Ron, he just oozes this calm confidence.
I love it.
And leadership. And you just trust what comes out of his mouth and his ability to lead.
I would say this about Ron Robinson. Has he ever steered us wrong? No.
No.
No. So anyways, we're a couple minutes ahead of schedule. Let's bring him in now. Let's go to North Carolina. The public address announcer of the Carolina Hurricanes, Wade Minter, joins us today on video chat. How you doing, Wade?
I am doing great. It's a wonderful warm day here in North Carolina. We're playing hockey in August. Everything is chaos. I'm loving it.
No kidding. Welcome to Canada, by the way. I love that you said you are officially international, baby. You know that hockey is king here. Have you been to Canada? Have you got a... What's your history?
Yeah, I've been a few times. I worked for a company, helped start a company called Team Snap that had a pretty good user base up in Canada. So I've hit Toronto and Ottawa. I also went to the Heritage Classic in Vancouver back in the early 2010s because Team Snap was a sponsor there. So I've hit three of the cities, have not been out to the prairies or the west, but it is on the bucket list.
Well, you got a pretty, I can tell already, good voice. I can tell just by listening to you. And obviously we've heard you from every Hurricanes game. It's game one opening up against Boston today. What's the Raleigh area, all of North Carolina, I guess, going through with the Hurricanes in the playoffs, but not at home?
It is frustrating because we went through that decade-long playoff drought where we couldn't buy a ticket to the playoffs. Had an amazing run, a magical season last year. Everyone fell in love with the Hurricanes again. They were exceptionally hyped, really strong season this year coming into the pause, and then everything stopped. So the team has done a great job on social media and through its other endeavors to keep the fans engaged with the team through the pause. And now that we're up in Toronto in the hub, they're bringing us a lot of content. So even though we can't be there at PNC Arena screaming and waving our towels, the team has kept us engaged and the fans are really enjoying everything that they're seeing.
You know, you make a really good point. And Darren, you jump in anytime. The team just comes back and then this, you know, you can't watch them. You can't reach out and touch them. And God knows when's the next time you'll be able to do that. But, you know, Clark brought up last year the bunch of jerks thing that Don Cherry labeled them and the elaborate post-game celebrations after wins. What was your role in that and your thoughts on that, Mr. Minter?
Yeah, so I was as surprised as the fans when the storm surge started. I have no advance notice as far as kind of the hockey information totem pole. I'm at the very bottom. But when we saw the first one, it was like, oh, well, that's kind of different. And then we saw the second one, which was exactly like the first. Like, oh, okay, this is what they're doing. But then they kept finding interesting ways to raise the bar. I mean, when you've got Evander Holyfield coming out on the ice to knock out Jordan Martinook at the conclusion of a game, it is a unique experience that you're really not going to get anywhere else. And here in Raleigh, we embrace our roots as a non-traditional hockey market. We tailgate and are cooking barbecue outside of the arena every game, and being able to have something that was uniquely our own, I think was a rallying point for the team and the fan base.
Well, and speaking of that, by the way, I've been to Raleigh. It was the NHL draft there. I want to say 02 or 03. Loved it. Beautiful. So green. It's such a beautiful part of the world. But you're pretty active on social media. I see you got a lot of followers. What's the reach of the fan base? How far does that epicenter go for real diehard Hurricanes fans? I mean, you're going to have some on the other side of the world, of course, right, that are contacting you on Twitter. But as far as guys that are really dialed in, how far does that circle go geographically?
We got a wide range because, especially with last year, the team actually became fun to watch again. And if a team's fun to watch, people are going to tune in. They're going to pay attention to exciting players. Sebastian Aho, Andrei Svechnikov, Dougie Hamilton, Jacob Slavin. I mean, these guys are extremely entertaining to watch. So as the Canes became good again and the Canes became fun again, we've seen the reach go across the United States and Canada, and global. We've got a lot of Finnish players on the team, so there's a big following in Finland. We even have at least one fan in Saskatchewan, my man Chris Cote, up there, and he has not been to Raleigh for a game, but he engages with the team up there from Saskatchewan every time we're playing.
Well, you know what's funny is we got to get Chris Cote together with Nick Saragella, who's probably watching right now in Esteban, and you can appreciate this, Wade. He signed with the Hartford Whalers in the 80s as a goalie and bounced around that organization. So the Hartford fingerprints are still really all over the Carolina Hurricanes, and it seems to me like you guys are cool with that. Unlike the Washington Nationals, who want nothing to do with Montreal or the Expos, the Hurricanes embrace the Whalers' history, if I'm right.
Well, they do as of the Tom Dundon administration. So the Peter Cromanos era, from the time they moved from Hartford down to Raleigh, very much put the kibosh on any Whalers' history. But you know, there's obviously a big fan community that loves the team, or loves at least loves the logo, which is one of the most iconic in all of sports. So when Tom Dundon came in with the team, he said, let's lean into it. Let's embrace our past as the Whalers. Let's have Whalers Heritage Night. Let's bring some Whalers alums down for our alumni games. And it's just another part of a storied franchise that didn't get a lot of love for a while, but now everyone's fully bought into it.
That's cool. I'm glad to hear that. I got a question here from producer Clark. You kind of covered this already, but maybe he was tied up when you did. But he said, what has the youthful insurgence to the team been like in terms of watching the team play? Aho, Teravainen, Sveshnikov, etc. How exciting is the team right now?
The depth is unbelievable. I look back 2 or 3 years when I started with the Canes in the 2015-16 season, and we had kind of AHL depth players up and down the lineup, and, you know, nice guys, but not really kind of bringing the mail in terms of exciting hockey. With the team now, you've got Ryan Dzingel with all of his speed and ability as a healthy scratch, because the depth is that strong in the team. You've got Trevor Van Riemsdyk, a solid NHL defenseman who's fighting for ice time because there's so many good defensemen on the team. Goaltending has been, you know, fun, and an area where I think we've finally gotten a little stability after kind of the early Cam Ward years. But being able to see a team like put a line out like Teravainen and Aho and Sveshnikov scoring lacrosse goals, Jacob Slavin just being one of the best defensemen in the entire league, and you get to see it right in front of you, you know, 41 games a year. That is a treat that I think people are very appreciative of.
For me, does that bunch of jerks slogan still come up, or was that a whole 2019 thing and it's over?
It is part of the history. I don't think the team leaned particularly heavily into it this year. There was a little bit, but it was kind of lightning in a bottle. The team was doing something fun and different, and, you know, folks like Don Cherry, Brian Burke, were not fans of it. And, you know, when you're a kid, what's the one thing that makes you want to do something when people tell you you can't? So they were able to lean into it, and that run to the Eastern Conference Finals from a decade of obscurity, coinciding with the bunch of jerks, coinciding with the team's marketing and social media efforts, being able to bring a lot of creativity, made the 2019 season magical. But in 2019-20, it was like, all right, we've been back to the playoffs, we've reestablished our identity, now let's get to work. And that's kind of been the mantra for the season up to the pause. And now with the restart, I think Rod Brindamore's still got that mindset of come to work, work hard, earn it.
All right. Well, they're fun to watch. I've got him picked to beat Boston, and I hope that's the case. Rod Brindamore, personal fave of mine, going back to the Notre Dame Hounds days, which is just, how far is it down the road? 20 miles south at the most. So, Wade, thanks. You covered it all. You made us even more of Carolina Hurricanes fans, so enjoy it. You, sir, are not a jerk, and don't be a stranger.
Absolutely. Glad to be up here in Western Canada, at least virtually from my car. Yeah. And, check out some road goal calls on social media. I'll be entertaining the fans from home since I'm not in the bubble.
Oh, sweet. Good stuff. All right, man. Stay safe. Wade Minter, public address announcer of the Carolina Hurricanes, joining us from his car in North Carolina, which I just got to say, Game Plus, very big in South Carolina. I got to go and look and see if it's available in North Carolina. But we've seen it. We've got messages from Myrtle Beach, Florence, South Carolina. Viewers down there. So I got to think that they're Hurricanes fans too.
Oh, yeah. big time. And it's an area of the world I've never been to, area of the states. I've never been to the Carolinas. I've heard it's nice. The golfing out there is supposed to be spectacular.
That'd be
your
thing.
Down the East Coast. So there'd be a lot to do there. Maybe it's on the list.
Since Cam Newton left the Patriots. Sorry, now he's with the Patriots. Since he left the Panthers, I don't have as much interest in going. I was a fan of Cam Newton when he was still there.
Yeah.
But the stadium looks really cool.
It does.
Bank of America Stadium. And of course, that's in Charlotte. But just go down there, rent a car, drive around. I think it would just be fantastic.
Yeah, it would be cool.
We're going to pause, come back with a sports update. I don't know if I want to get into this today or not. The USA Today came out with their power rankings for the NFL this season.
Ooh.
I could look up where your team is.
Yeah.
You might be surprised at where certain teams are. I'm not sure that's a discussion for today. We'll see. Maybe we'll do an early viewer takeover again here. Let's do that.
Sure.
Okay, it's all coming up. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website. IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Canada's daytime sports talk show rolls on. Sports update. The Blue Jays will walk onto the diamond at Salem Field in Buffalo, New York tonight as the host team for the first time in 2020. Toronto opens a three-game set with the Miami Marlins after spending the start of the season unsure where it would call home for the shortened baseball campaign. Buffalo last hosted a regular season Major League Baseball game in 1915. Cleveland Indians manager Terry Francona will return to the team today after missing more than a week so he could rest while dealing with a gastrointestinal condition. The team says Francona will be in the dugout when the Indians open a two-game home series against the Chicago Cubs. Orlando City and Portland will meet in the MLS Is Back tournament finale tonight, with the winner hoisting a trophy less than 24 hours before the league resumes its revised regular season in home markets. It might just be a fitting end to an event that set a Guinness World Record for being the largest single-location soccer tournament. This sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon, where they're humming right now, I'm sure. Doyle checked in earlier from Wendell Clark's, where it is Taco Tuesday today. That's Chicken Tacos, $13.99, featured at Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon. See you at Wendell's. So what are we hearing about the CFL? I guess I'll start with this. We heard that we might know by Friday. Clark got a message from a trusted source. Very, very cautiously optimistic that the team, that the league will play in 2020.
Yeah, we're starting to hear some people saying, sounds like there's a chance that football's coming back. You know, it's sprinkling people throughout the league are starting to hear it, but we've heard it before.
Yeah.
So cautiously optimistic. I want to be excited, but until we actually hear something substantial, I don't even know what the return to play plan is. How many games? You know, what types of days? How many a week? You know, what's the schedule going to look like? I want to see all of those details. You announce those. If you have any intentions of playing, announce the plan. And then as you work towards that day, you know, we'll find out if it's confirmed or not. But
we've been fooled on this before. I'm not really at all convinced. I don't think that they're going to play. But I want them to play. Mm-hmm. There would be nobody happier than me if my friends got back to work, if the players got on the field and we got this thing moving again. But the logistical details and knowing for a fact that the football operations staff have not been consulted really makes me hesitant to believe at all that they're going to play. As you said it best, you'll believe it when you see it, and me too. But yeah, if they do get out on the field, we got something to talk about and report on, and I want them to play. But this smacks to me a lot of the Farhan Lalji report from a few weeks ago that, oh, CBA talks are going great and teams have been told to prepare to start arriving in Winnipeg September 15th. And you got the CFLPA president, Solomon El-Omimian, going, where are you hearing that? Who is your sources?
Yeah.
And it's like, are those same people at it again? Just creating false hope? And then another important point I want to make here, because Clark had said Delvin Bro has come out and said he's not playing this year. And I think I'd seen that on Delvin Bro's Twitter somewhere too. Star corner for the Ticats and former New Orleans Saint. Shaq Evans with his self-imposed deadline of last Friday for Randy Ambrosi. One thing we have to realize is you can't take players seriously, or they not necessarily saying what they mean. They're speaking out of frustration, I guess, is my point. That's not to say you can't believe them. But if the league comes with some knock-your-socks-off offer, they will vote in favor of playing. I do believe that. I just don't see where that offer is coming from.
Yeah, haven't seen it yet. No indication that it's coming. But yeah, when the players get to social media, that's real. That's authentic. You know, they're frustrated. They want to know what's happening. You know, they see all these other leagues. They see the NFL starting training camp, and yeah, the cases are way worse down there, right? They see the NHL back to play. They see the NBA doing things right. Even baseball is starting to get, you know, moving. And, you know, they've had their battle with COVID, but the CFL is the only league right now without a plan. The teams, the leagues that have canceled, at least there's a plan. The NLL canceled, but they have a plan. Start working on next year and all the rest. So I think that's the frustrating part is, you know, for the CFL players, you see all the other athletes with you know, some assurance of a plan. They have purpose, and they're sitting there, well, aren't we pro athletes too? Why are we the only ones that don't know what's happening? They're the only ones that don't know what's
and
happening.
And coaches and staff too.
Right, but the CFL, yeah.
Coaches and staff of the CFL.
For sure.
All these other leagues seem to work in lockstep together along the way, and there's been none of that in the Canadian Football League. And the other part of this is those leagues didn't have to use government money to get back onto the floor. Or the ice, or whatever it may be, or the diamond. Like, the thing with the CFL is, even if they do play, you understand, they're nowhere near out of the woods. Because the only way that they can play is if the federal government pays for it. Everybody's admitted that. And the federal government, from everything I've heard, is still hesitant to do it. So if they do stroke the check and they do play, for what? Let's remember, the federal government is the reason they're doing it. Not because of their own devices. And our VP of Sim Events, Nelson Hakowicz, writes in and says, can't wait till we knock around what the CFL will look like under the guidance of MLSE. I'm expecting, I've been told I'll get another update today on the MLSE story, But there's nothing imminent, no announcement forthcoming anytime soon. But to say that even the CFL will be under the guidance of MLS is probably wrong. I'll go back to 24 hours ago when I said there'll be an investor in the CFL. To what degree? I don't know. I'm not sure even they know. But Darren, you're a businessman. You own businesses. If they are to the degree of 51%, and by the way, how do you even calculate what the league is worth?
Right.
How would you calculate that?
It'd be really tough. You'd have to look at, you know, the power of the brand, you know, and with each individual team kind of being its own entity, right? Riders community owned and other teams that are privately owned. You have to look at your ability to make money too, right? Owning the CFL, how much can you capitalize off of each of the individual teams? So you look at things like maybe rolling out more league-wide merchandise and sharing in that, television contracts, the actual Grey Cup game, you know, what an entity like MLSE could do to boost the Grey Cup game and the festivities around it, and maybe your partnership with university sports. And so you got to look at, you know, everybody evaluates things a little bit differently, but it'd be a long process to look at, okay, how does this league actually make money? What are the current debts that it has and liabilities that are in the books, and how can we capitalize? And then also, you know, what is MLSE set to capitalize if the league is strong? Even if you don't make money on this investment, will it help boost up our value of the Argonauts and some of our other entities and other subsidiaries that guys, you know, have ownership pieces of, restaurants in Toronto, things like that? So there's a lot of balls in the air, but
sure,
if MLSE can see a benefit, of course they would do it.
I'm looking at Three Down Nation right now, and the headline is Ticats All-Star DB Delvin Bro, quote, "If we have a season starting tomorrow in Canada, you won't find me there." And let's not forget, Brandon Banks has said the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not wearing a helmet in 2020. So where do we stand on that? Should we believe them or should we not? Are they just talking like the Rider fans that say, "I'm burning my season tickets, I'm never going to another game," and then they're the first one in line to renew? Do you know what I mean? Are they just talking? Are they just blowing off steam? How much stock do we put in these comments from the players? Because I still think they'll play. And Armando Moreno writes in. He is a global football reporter. He says, "Our U.S. Just slid off the screen.
But U.S. college football players eligible to play in the CFL if college sports is canceled this fall."
I would suggest they are.
Right. You can always leave. Now, the question is, would they be eligible to go back to the NCAA and finish? You know, so you'd be looking at guys in their senior year who want to not finish school, come play in the CFL for a year, and then go on, you know, into the NFL draft and whatnot. But that would be interesting.
Colin in Ottawa says, "How do you increase TV rights when the league re-upped with TSN just last year for the same amount as the previous deal?" Pardon me. Not that hard, in my opinion. The XFL went bankrupt, was bought, and are now renegotiating with ESPN and Fox.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a different entity. Yeah. You negotiated with them. You didn't negotiate with whatever my entity is called, right?
Right. It's different companies. That's how business works. It happens all the time. I'm going to break. I want to answer your question, Zach, but I don't think now's the time. I'm not even going to mention it, but stay tuned. We'll be back with Overtime in a moment, okay? We'll talk about sports on tap tonight in the world. We'll talk about the rock star of the day. Lots coming up. It's the RP Show, Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back for Overtime, everybody. I've tweeted the poll for Rockstar of the Day. You can vote for the next 24 hours. Your contestants today are Scott Laughlin of Sirius XM NHL Radio. Thank you, Jordan. Nice work on the Rockstar running across the screen. Ron Robison, the commissioner of the Western Hockey League, who, if you missed it earlier, said, we're determined to play. God, I admire that man. He said there will be no hub cities. They are not even considering it. And it'll be all divisional play beginning December the 6th. I pause this ramble to just say, I believe the National Hockey League should be funding hub cities in the Western Hockey League, and that includes Regina and Saskatoon. You can put them all on the Marriott. God knows it's empty right beside the Brand Center. Saskatoon's got how many hotels right around the SaskTel Center?
Yep.
Quite a few. I don't know where they do it in BC. There could be somewhere. Like, Ron is the kind of guy that I've spent a lot of time with over the years. And I said to him, I said, Ron, the NHL has unending amounts of money. They'd be nowhere without major junior hockey. It's still the number one supplier of players to the NHL. Why are they not giving you transfer payments to help pay your bills? Because you guys are living hand to mouth. And Ron goes, well, we do get transfer payments. And you know what he was talking about. If you're a junior team and you have a player drafted into the NHL, you get X amount of tens of thousands of dollars per that player. But if you're a crappy junior team that you don't have anybody drafted, you're not getting any money. It should be a flat check every year to go to operations. I believe that. But again, I'm not going to argue with the commissioner of the damn league if he doesn't think it's that important or if he believes it's sustainable on their own. But if they want to play and it's that important, and I think that it is, I just think the NHL has a really big responsibility to help out junior.
Right.
But they don't.
I know. And a lot of times it's nice to do things, but we don't spend money just because it's nice to do, right? We spend money
that's right.
Because there's a benefit, right?
Well, that's still a benefit.
We don't, making donations is great and everything, but you donate to a political campaign because you hope down the line they're going to scratch your back and
is that
create,
why they do it?
Create favorable situations
they were
just
doing
for
it
your
to
business.
Be nice.
Right. Exactly. Not quite. In schools, you support, Derek Myers because you really want him to clean up this playground. And if he gets elected, he's heard from you and you've been a big supporter. So he's going to clean up the playground in your area. You know, you hope those things will come true. But the NHL should see a benefit to the WHL. There's an actual benefit there. If the WHL doesn't play a season, for the next set of recruits and for all the teams that are scouting and trying to draft players into the NHL, you're not seeing them play. So across the entire CHL, there would be a financial benefit to the NHL for actually, okay, what do we need to do to make sure these players can play some hockey and make sure they're developing and being on display so that our National Hockey League teams and members can have a good evaluation process for the next NHL draft.
Mm-hmm.
There's a financial benefit there, so.
Paul Figler chiming in from the Dub Network website, and he says, if you help junior, then the USHL and NAHL and Euro Junior Leagues will be looking for a handout. So what? Who cares? I mean, depends on your political view, of course. Are you socialist, communist? Are you capitalist, free market? If the CFL gets a check from the federal government, what about the other leagues that asked Ottawa for money and didn't get any? CFL's getting money. All these other leagues doesn't look like they are. NHL can pick and choose where they want to give the money. I can give you numbers all day why the Canadian Hockey League should get money and those other leagues shouldn't. All day, twice on Sunday. What is Junior A and what is even NHL Banal, as they say, qualify as? I'll give you numbers of players that have gone to the National Hockey League from the North American Hockey League. It's not even close to the CHL. Not even in the same stratosphere. Let's talk about history. Our viewers are writing in saying that should be Rod's rant of the day for Bronco Plumbing and Heating. Oh, there it is. And when we talk junior hockey, it doesn't get the views usually as the pro talk. But I'm very passionate about this because these junior hockey operators are my very close friends, in some cases family, and they're really struggling, man. And if there was ever a time that they needed it, it's now.
Yeah.
You know, these teams that have lost all these staff that have jumped off the ship, and wisely so, and that could be coming in the CFL soon too, they're going to need the money from the NHL. And what we've seen in the bubbles with the return to play in the National Hockey League is they do have unlimited, unending resources. And there are teams, I'm not going to name them, but that they might not be around. They might have to take a year or two off when the CHL returns to play, unless this all works out under the Western Hockey League commissioner's plan.
It's not cheap to run a junior hockey team.
Budgets into the millions now.
Not cheap at all. And that becomes really tough if you're not making any revenue. And even at 50% capacity, for any of these teams that are in arenas that are under 5,000 seats...
That's just to survive.
Right. You're
not going to make any money on that.
No. So it becomes really, really tough. And junior hockey is one that might take a really hard hit. I hope they don't, but it just might be the reality. It's really tough, especially when you got to go, you know, inter-province and things. They need all the support they can get.
Nelson says the NHL couldn't be bothered. They wouldn't even get behind a pro women's league. Would have been huge PR for them to get behind women's hockey. But we're not talking about PR. We're talking about development for the players that are going to play in the National Hockey League. Clearly, I'm barking up a dead horse's ass, to use my brother's term, because it's not happening and maybe they're not interested. I just feel they owe it for all the players that have gone through. Nick McConnell says the CHL is the NHL's longest main producer. Makes sense. And that is my point. Or CHL goes to Ottawa and gets a handout to stay in business because that's what the CFL is doing.
Yeah. You know, you might have to.
Well, I think that's the plan of what they are going to do. But anyways, looks like it's going to be an interesting end of the week. Tomorrow we've got Darren Dreger of TSN, Justin Dunk of 3Down. He'll have the latest. And Rough Riders punting great Jamie Borum, Grey Cup champion Jamie Borum. It's all coming up. Thank you to Scott Laughlin, Ron Robison, and Wade Minter of the Carolina Hurricanes. Enjoy the hockey, everybody. And we'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Game Plus TV and Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.